This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Todd Zebarth with us on the program. Todd is Senior Vice President for State Advocacy and Support at the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools. He is with us today to talk about the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools annual report, Measuring Up to the Model, a Ranking of State Charter School Laws 2014. We will be talking about the report's key findings, including how North Carolina ranked this year and where we can improve our state's charter school law. Todd, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Todd, before we get into the report, define, if you would, for us, public charter schools, and tell us how many states have enacted laws allowing for public charter schools.
Sure. Public charter schools are public schools that are given the freedom to be more innovative in a variety of ways, and in exchange for that freedom, they are held to a higher level of accountability than traditional public schools. There are currently 42 states and the District of Columbia that have enacted public charter school laws.
Well, thank you, and I think it's really important for our listeners to understand that charter schools, and we hear a lot about charter schools, but the charter schools are public schools, and I think from the initiation of charter schools years ago and the continuation of those, that has become more well understood by the general public, but we still run into circumstances where individuals don't fully understand that charter schools are, in fact, public schools.
Yes, that remains a challenge for us, I think, in a number of states. Even 20 years after the first law was passed and the first schools opened, you are correct. These are public schools. They're free. They're open to any student that wants to enroll, and there are no admissions requirements for them.
Well, Todd, now tell us briefly about the annual report. What is it set out to measure regarding state charter school laws?
Sure. So we, about 5 years ago, put together a model law for charter schools that, and in the process, we had reflected on what had worked well in charter school law and supporting the creation of great charter schools and what hadn't worked in the first 15 or so years of the movement at that time, and put out a model law, and then shortly thereafter, starting in 2010, began evaluating each of the state's charter laws against the 20 components from our perspective that are essential to have in place in a model charter school law.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to describe all of those 20 components, but you did mention that the report does evaluate state charter school laws according to 20 different components. Share with us, if you will, what you believe to be the top five most important components that contribute to a successful or a good charter school law.
Sure. The first component, I think, gets at the what we call the charter bargain that I mentioned at the outset, which is giving school leaders and educators in those schools the freedom to innovate. So the first component really has to do with ensuring that public charter schools do have that flexibility to innovate. The second one is the other half of the charter bargain, which is accountability, ensuring that public charter schools are held to a higher level of accountability than traditional public schools, so autonomy and accountability. Number three is ensuring that charter schools have equitable funding as compared to traditional public schools. So when a parent transfers one of their children from a traditional public school to a public charter school, all of the federal, state, and local dollars follow that child to his or her new school, just as it would if a child transferred from one traditional public school to another. The fourth really important component to have in place has to do with facility support for charter schools. Charters aren't able to raise monies through bonds and taxes that traditional schools are able to do, and so they usually have to pay for their facilities out of their operating budget, and some states have stepped up and provided them additional resources for facilities, and we think that's really important because that is a big challenge that charter school leaders face. And then lastly, I think it's really important for there not to be any caps on the growth of public charter schools. If you have the accountability in place that I mentioned earlier and good authorizing in place, you don't need to put an artificial cap on the number of charter schools or the number of students that can enroll in them. The sector should be allowed to grow to meet the parental demand that's out there for more public school options.
Great. Well, that's really helpful for a better understanding of the various components and those that you consider to be most important. Now, in the report, you rank all of the states that have charter schools, I imagine, in order and on their success and the environment, whether it is positive or could be improved for the existence and growth of charter schools and the prosperity of charter schools. What are some of the top-ranking states in the report and why?
Sure. So in this year's report, as I mentioned, 42 states in D.C. have charter laws, so we ranked the states from 1 to 43. And the top-scoring, top-ranking state this year, as it has been in 4 of the 5 years we've done the report, is Minnesota. They've created an environment which meets a lot of the components that we have in our model law. Our state that's number 2 this year, it had moved up from number 9 the previous year, is Indiana. They've made a number of positive policy improvements to their law over the last few years, which led to them moving up in our rankings. And then the last state I'll mention is Louisiana. Louisiana also has made a number of changes over the last few years that has led to it gradually moving up in our rankings into number 3. And so those are the top 3 states in this year's report: Minnesota, Indiana, and Louisiana.
Okay, very good. Well, Todd, I would be remiss if I did not ask, where did North Carolina rank on the list? And did we show improvement from our ranking last year and in recent previous years?
Yes, North Carolina, similar to some of the states I just mentioned, has also been making improvements to its charter school laws over the last few years. This year, it's in the middle of the pack. It's at number 19, but it had moved up 4 spots from number 23 the previous year. And over the last few years, it's passed a few different bills better support public charter schools. Most notably in 2011, it lifted a cap that it had on the growth of charters. When North Carolina first passed its charter school law in 1996, it only allowed 100 charter schools, and the growth met that cap fairly quickly, and probably in about 2000, 2001. And so there wasn't a whole lot of growth in the charter school movement in North Carolina for about a decade until the cap was lifted in 2011, and the pent-up demand that had been created because of the cap is being unleashed now, as we're seeing 25, 26 schools open this fall and anticipating another 25, 26 schools to open in the fall of 2014.
Well, that certainly was a great improvement and a measure that the North Carolina Family Policy Council had been involved with since the beginning in enacting the original charter school law in 1996, but also working for years and years, and ultimately, as you said, in 2011, lifting that arbitrary cap of 100 charters in the state. Now, from your perspective, did the removal of North Carolina's charter school cap simply allow more charters in the state, or did it serve to improve the environment for charter schools in other ways?
Mm-hmm. You know, when the state passed the bill to lift the cap, they also included some other items in it that related to accountability. So we think that was a good step. And then this most recent legislative session, they passed another bill in 2013 that also gave schools some more flexibility around their staffing decisions, and then that also included some additional accountability requirements. So I think North Carolina is continuing to, you know, make improvements that both open up the charter school sector for more growth and flexibility while also continuing to strengthen accountability.
Well, very good. The report offers recommendations for states to help them improve their charter school laws. And as you mentioned, North Carolina continues to improve in this area, but certainly there is continued improvement that we can make. What are some ways that North Carolina can improve its charter school laws and make our educational environment in North Carolina more friendly for this educational option?
The recommendations we have for North Carolina are fairly similar to the recommendations we have for most states. As over the last 5 years or so, lots of states have made lots of improvements to their charter school laws. There's just been a significant amount of activity across the country, which we're generally pleased about. So as states have lifted caps and provided more autonomy and strengthened accountability, done some of the things, lifted caps, some of the things we talked about, the one area where there's been some movement but not enough has to do with the two components I mentioned around equitable funding for charter school students and equitable access to facilities funding and facility support. And I think those are two areas where North Carolina also needs to improve its law to ensure equity for charter school students and to ensure that there's equitable facility support for them. And, you know, I think the other thing I would mention is in North Carolina, if you want to start a charter school, you have to apply to the state. And as the charter school movement is growing, 127 schools open this year and another 25 or so coming online, the state needs to ensure that the office at the State Department of Education that's approving applications and overseeing schools and making decisions about whether schools should be renewed or not or closed has the capacity to successfully do that job. Because at the end of the day, we don't want more charters just for the sake of having more schools. We want to make sure that we're creating more quality options for families.
Well, I think that's a great point, and that's something that our listeners need to understand well in this discussion, because I think generally one concern that we see, especially from folks who may consider charter schools to, although they are public schools, to in some way be a threat to the traditional public school system, is that there is a significant level of accountability on these schools. And we really need to make sure that that remains in place. Of course, accountability within the education establishment and the department and the State Board of Education and local officials as well, but also the ultimate accountability, which comes from parents of the students Absolutely. That attend these schools. And so I think it's important for folks to recognize that as North Carolina expands the number of charter schools that are able to operate in the state, that there are significant measures of accountability that exist now and that remain in place. And it's really important for us to ensure that accountability continues. And that if that is in place and if the structures that exist are doing what they should be doing, then we can feel very comfortable and confident that the educational options that are provided by these charter schools are going to not only expand opportunities for students across the state, but enable them to seek out and enable their parents to seek out the educational options that are most suitable for their children.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, Todd, we are nearly out of time for this week. Where can our listeners go to read the full report, Measuring Up to the Model, and learn more about the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools?
Yes, they can go to our website at www.publiccharters.org.
Great. And that website, again, is www.publiccharters.org. And we would certainly encourage our listeners to go and avail themselves of the information that's available there to learn more about public charter schools and the educational options that they provide. Todd Zebarth, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters.
Thanks for the opportunity to be with you today.
Before we close, I would also like to recommend an excellent resource to help our listeners stay on top of some of the major public policy and cultural issues facing families in North Carolina today, the North Carolina Family Policy Council's quarterly magazine, Family North Carolina. The magazine is filled with engaging articles on some of the key public policy and cultural issues facing families in our state today. The latest issue of Family North Carolina magazine is available on our website in a digital version. Visit our website at ncfamily.org.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919 919- 800-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.